Let's move on into the Bible study. Praise God. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. And I thank the Lord, you know, we're moving into the eternal age gospel now. That's past the tribulation, past the millennium, and now into the age of the exceeding riches of His grace. In the ages to come, praise God, that He shows in His kindness to us. And I just marvel at how He's brought this age into focus, and He brings this age into focus with the presentation of His wife, New Jerusalem. What glory for Him, for Him, and how marvelous this is. But we've spent the last couple weeks, praise God, in that glorious study of the results of the grace of God. Amen? Praise God. As brother prayed, the results of the grace of God, He must increase and I must decrease. Praise His name. But this is what we've seen. We've seen His masterpiece of grace, that wife, the bride descending, having the glory of God in her light. What the word of His grace can do. Oh, my goodness. Built for Him, His good pleasure is who she is. All glory and praise to the grace of God. Praise His name. Now, this is His wife. And the word of His grace alone has made herself ready for this time. And brothers and sisters, let's really realize and awaken to what is in the balance for us. Us who believe that by the grace of God, we lay hold of that faith that that's mine. I thank God just a moment ago to thank Him. I believe it. I believe it. I am not wavering. Hallelujah. And I know it's the grace of God that will keep me in it. But I'll tell you what, I see the power of the mercy of the Lord in my life. I see, praise God, the power in the blood that's on the mercy seat, praise God, that is encouraging this life to believe the Lord that I'll perform the good work which I've begun in you, son. I know He will, and I know He'll do the same in you. I know He'll do the same in you, praise God, as we believe Him. Hallelujah. How wonderful to let Him do the work, amen? Praise God. But what's in the balance? God help us to be alive and ready and awake. And as it says there in 1 Thessalonians 5, God help us and God forbid we would be slumbering or drunken in the night. Because we're not of that. We're of the light. That's who we are. Let's be who we are in Christ. And let's be ready because it's on the wing and there's going to be a trump that's going to sound at any moment. But now, as we've seen the focal point, praise God, of turning in to that next chapter, the eternal ages, after the tribulation, after the millennial time. Here we go into the eternal ages to come in that exceeding grace. We turn, we see the focal point of the city, which is the Lamb's wife. But now, as we move into verse 12, we're going to be drawn now to the raiment on her, the righteousness of saints, if you will. But now we're going to see it not as a gown, but we're going to see it as a wall. We're going to see it as gates. We're going to see it as a foundation. Everything, praise God, that has been built for Him that, again, is to His glory and that glory that she will share with Him. Revelation 21, let's begin reading from verse 12. And again, this is speaking of New Jerusalem. You know, let's just go ahead and go back and read verse 10. And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal. Here we go. And had a wall, great and high, and the 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, we're going to go ahead and stop there And I'll tell you what, I don't even know how far we'll get tonight. But I just hope we get to heaven tonight. Amen? So there you go. And this is about as good as it's going to be, hallelujah, unless we're being there, all right? But let's get there by Spirit, hallelujah. Now, I thank the Lord as we begin this. I think back as we've been quoting on Song of Solomon 8:12, is the Shulamite, she's finally with him. She's there in spirit and in that precious story and its imagery and symbolism. This is her time when she'll be raptured, and she gets that vision of who she is to him. And she says, I'm a wall. She says, I'm a wall. My breasts are like towers. Well, here she is, and here's the wall. And it's marvelous, the fullness of glory descending from heaven. She's clothed with the saints, and here are a part of them, the wall. Now, this is New Jerusalem, and praise God, this is a new wall, if you will. It's a wall not built of stones, but of lively stones. Praise God, his sons, and we thank the Lord for that. The wall, brothers and sisters, is the 144,000. We'll speak a little bit more of them. But there are 12,000 out of every tribe. We'll come into more detail of that, about how the wall, the measure of it, in verse 17, 144 and 4 cubits, the measure of a man, the measure of an angel. Speak about the 12 foundations. You'll have the 12 walls. It's all about Israel. It really is, and we're going to understand why this is all about Israel. Because it's perfect in how God dealt with man and how God is going to deal with man again, and how the glory comes through Israel, and we thank God for it. But there's 12,000 out of every tribe. Again, the 144,000 we saw was the final part of the church that was raptured back in chapter 14. And let's go back and read of them in chapter 14. This was they were first introduced in chapter 7. You remember they were witnessed to and they received the Lord in that early part of the tribulation. And there were 12,000 out of each tribe. And the Lord protects them. He sends them out in the wilderness right when Lucifer is completely cast out of heaven. He knows he's got but a short time, and he goes right after those 144,000. He tries to destroy them. And at that moment, God, again, as Lucifer always gets to that moment where he thinks he's going to have something, he has nothing. And God raptures that precious company, and they're present with the Lord. And here they are being raptured in verse 1 of chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144 and 4,000 that were redeemed from the earth. And isn't this wonderful, again, how God breaks down these different companies and where exactly they're standing and how they're singing different songs and they're doing different things. And this is why, it's only by the Spirit that we see these things. It's only because of the grace of God. But aren't you thankful that you see these things? There's Christians that just read through this stuff and, you know, never... they read through it, but they're not wanting to understand it. You know, if there's a will to know, you'll know. Thank God for the grace of God that's with you, that you know, and that we study these things. But it's so evident, is it not, that you got the four living ones, and then you have the 24 elders, and here's the 144th. You know that they're not all they're all of the Lord, but they're all different companies. They're all in different places. They're all doing different things. And it's over and over and over in the Word of God. And he tells you these things. Every man is going to be in his own rank, and every man's going to be in his own order. And it was just like we were reading about those in Hebrews 11, even of the Old Testament. It said they endured these things because they were hoping for a better resurrection. There are ranks in the Old Testament. Amen. And we're thankful to God that he showed us these things. He showed us right at the beginning with Enoch, didn't he? He said, Enoch walked with God. What a novel idea. Amen. And that's all he did was walk with God. He didn't say he did for God and all of this for God. He walked with God. And he was not. He was taken. He was raptured. All because he took a little walk with God. Taking a little walk with God. Amen. This is how we take a little walk with God. It's right here. Going to walk through a lot of things. Amen. And this world can be mighty filthy. Sometimes your feet get a little bit dirty. But the washing of the word. Praise God. And We thank the Lord for it. And oh, I thank God it's washed my feet. Washed my feet. Praise the Lord. Now, and so these are they, it says in verse 4, which were not defiled with women. And they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, and they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, I think about again how merciful is our Lord. These 144,000, again, remember, they turned to the Lord. They believed in the Lord, at the beginning of the tribulation. So again, just like our lives, but I think about, again, the mercy and the grace of our Lord. Because this is the plan of God. And the plan of God is his grace. And that grace, praise God, is going to reach and be received by those who have a heart to receive it, that want to receive that wonderful grace of God. So we thank the Lord for these things. Now, getting back to the wall of the city, because that's who these 144,000 are. Now, the wall is all and only Israel. And those 12 gates that we read about there, it said there were 12 walls. There was a wall, great and high. And again, this mighty, you talk about great and high. Oh my, what the Lord does, it's all great and high. Hallelujah. And it had 12 gates. Now, we're going to read about those wonderful gates here in just a minute. And on those 12 gates, it says each of them had a tribe written on each one of them. These gates, we will see down in verse 24, it says they're open day and night. I should say in verse 25, it says they're open day and night. It's just open right there again because this is the time that it is. And it's so wonderful that these gates will receive the nations of them are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their honor and glory into it. And that's there in verse 24. Now, remember this New Jerusalem, if you will, it's a city that sits and hovers over the new earth. It's like a big giant cube. If you really look at it and all, it kind of looks like an altar. I love looking at the pictures of it in a way of kind of pictures in my heart as it's described. You know, it's a perfect cube and it's just wonderful, golden, but it's transparent. And the beauty of it and then the foundations of it all. But basically it sits above the new earth. And the ones, this glory and honor, the kings of the earth, they'll bring that glory and honor into that place. And those gates is where they'll come through. And those gates are open, praise be to God. Now, all the glory of the earth has to come through those gates. This, again, is a type that the blessing of God and the blood came through Israel to the whole world. Let's go on over to Romans 9. See, that's how it came. It came through Israel. That was God's choice. Those are God's people. That's how he brought it through. And we thank the Lord. Now let's read in Romans 9, 4 and 5. Sweet brother Paul rejoicing at this. And it was commanded them, Romans 9, 4 and 5. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Oh, excuse me, Romans, not Revelation. Jesse, sorry. That's a good verse too. I get so excited. Who knows where I am? That's what my wife tells me. All right, Romans 9, 4 and 5. It says, who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So that's concerning flesh and Christ. That's who it came. It came through. It all came through Israel. And we thank God that that was so divine in that. So that's how it came. But then, praise God, what we're reading right here is the restoration of it all. How it's going to come through in this end time, the restoration, the wealth, and how much more the wealth that God will bring through it in this new Jerusalem and this new earth. Let's go over to Romans 11. And it'll tell us a little bit about that. In Romans 11, verse 12, it says, now this is again speaking of Israel. Now if Israel, or if the fall of them, of Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminution of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So when the fullness of the time of Israel comes, how much more rich will it be? Hallelujah. And this is that rich time. This is that exceeding riches of his grace time in the ages to come. And this is how all of this will be in that precious, complete fullness of Israel. Then you go on over to 15 of that same 11th chapter, and it says, for if the casting away of them, meaning of Israel, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Basically speaking, a miracle. And that's exactly what this is. That's exactly what you are. And praise be to God, that's exactly what God does every single moment. Is a miracle. So, but nothing's hard for God, but that's what we call it, and we thank the Lord for it. So, all the wealth and all the majesty of earth now comes through Israel. And I love that. See, the number 12 is speaks of divine government. It speaks of perfection. And you know that we do not have divine government and perfection today. It's not a 12. But this will be the time it is. It'll be divine, and it'll be a divine governing for all the ages to come. There'll be nothing of anything, not even remembered of any of sin, a lie, the devil. It will be gone forever. Never to be remembered again. Praise his name. Now, how wonderful that is. But the perfection that we see. And again, the 144,000, if we remember, was typed and shown in the five wise virgins. They were the ones that had the oil in the lamps, that infilling of the Holy Ghost, that wonderful alive, the purity that was in these sweet ones. And there's anointing and praise. And praise God, they were the guests at the wedding feast. But now, what a picture we have here. Because we have the wall, this is what we've read tonight. This is how it brings this out. We talk about, first of all, as we saw New Jerusalem, we see the bride. She's the focal point of it. But now we go right to the outer structure, if you will. We're seeing the wall, we're seeing the gates, and we're going to see the foundation. And again, I want to emphasize again, everything about the wall, the gates, the foundation, all that, is all going to be about Israel. All of that shell, if you will, and all of that wonderful building and structure is all going to be about Israel. Now, once again, the word will show us many different visions of the same thing throughout Revelation. Many different visions of. What I mean by that, we've seen the four living ones. We've seen them as the seven angels. We've seen them also as we know, she's the bride adorned, descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Amen? We've seen the Lord in many different aspects and visions throughout the word of God. Well, we kind of have the same thing here. We have this city adorned. There was another vision of the family of God, if you will, that we read about back in Revelation chapter 12. And I want to go there back to Revelation chapter 12 because I think when we kind of get quickened and reminded of the wonderful vision of the family of God back in chapter 12, it'll help us to see all of the revelation of the companies that are here on display in this New Jerusalem. So go on over back to chapter 12 of Revelation. And this was that woman that was clothed with the sun that was hidden out there in the wilderness at the time that Lucifer was cast out of heaven. And it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, pained to be delivered. Now let's go through again and get the vision of the family of God that is seen in the vision of this woman. Now first of all, we see that she's clothed with the sun. If you recall back that clothing of the sun, because this represents, this woman represents the family of God, okay? And that clothed with the sun, that spoke of the sun glory, the bride. So the very first thing again that's seen is the bride, that wonderful sun glory, that wonderful glory that is the same glory of, as our Lord. But then it says, and so she was clothed with the sun, but then there was a moon under her feet. Now remember it says there's a glory of the sun and then there's a glory of the moon. The sun obviously emits, it has the light within. A moon reflects the light. Still a wonderful, glorious. I mean, I love looking at the moon. I can stare at that moon almost all night. You know how beautiful it is. But you can't even look at the sun. You got to have special eyes to be seeing that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And in those, all of that, you know, those aren't just happenings. That's happening for a real specific reason that we have these encouragements in what we see in nature. But the moon of that reflected light, it speaks of those saints that are tribulation saints. It speaks of those that will have the reflected glory. It speaks of those that would be the ones that would have palms in their hand, that are waving palms, ones that did not necessarily go in and receive, again, the message of the grace of his glory. Hallelujah, or the glory of his grace. Now, you see the crown of 12 stars where it says a moon under her feet and upon her head were a crown of 12 stars. Do you recall that we spoke about those 12 stars? That represents Israel. And again, those would represent the 24 elders of the Old Testament, the full overcomers in the Old Testament. And I want you to think again, because we're going to be right back thinking about these 24 elders in just a moment. The Lord's, again, revealing stuff all the time, and it's just so sweet to see layer upon layer and all these different things. But these 12 stars are round about her head. Remember how we talked about the 24 elders back there in Revelation 4? They were seated on thrones round about the throne, aren't they? So we got the round about. 24 is that priestly number in the Old Testament. And again, we have the number 12, which also speaks of that divine perfection and government of the Lord as well, too, referring us back to the Old Testament worthies of faith. Now, the child that she's going to bear is the 144,000. That will be that 144,000 that comes forth out of this woman. And the woman, praise God, as we see, she'll be remaining in the wilderness after the child is born and raptured. Obviously, the 144,000 are taken up. But the woman then in her remaining will be those saints that'll be under the altar. Those will be those saints that the Word of God tells us that will be the earth dwellers into the millennial time. So, with all of that and a quick overview, I want to go back now to chapter 21, and I believe that we'll see many of these companies and be reminded again of another vision of the glorious family of God. And as we begin to see these wonderful attributes and companies, and again, how merciful and gracious God is that he gives glory to all of his children. It's glorious. She's all together. He's all together lovely. Hallelujah. His body is absolutely beautiful. Thanks be to God. So, going back to chapter 21, the wall. And I want to touch on this for a minute. Notice it doesn't say walls. It says a wall. And I love that because of the oneness of God. It speaks about his one perfectness, and it's all, we're all one in him. And I love that strength that it gives us in the Lord, and the continuous. And again, that wall we will see are the 144,000. Then it goes on to the gates, and it says, as we, you know, read and rejoiced in Romans there, through Israel came the blessing. But more specifically, I'd like us to think about is that it came through Israel, but that original blessing came through the faith of our fathers. Amen? So we think about, and I know that Abraham, in a sense, you know, in receiving that promise, we have our father Abraham. But Israel didn't really start until Jacob. But yet that promise was still coming down through those fathers, and it was going to come through Israel. And we know that. And it was all there, whether, you know, you go over there to Hebrews 11, the worthies of faith, you know, you start there with Abel, and then, you know, you move, you get to Abraham, then you get Jacob, and you get Isaac and Jacob, and all of that line, how it just flows down. But know this, it came through Israel. It came through that peculiar people. That was God's choice, and they were God's people. And that's how the blessing, praise God, came through and came to us. We understand that. And it was because of their rejection, right? When his own received him not, he turned to the Gentile. Praise God. But here we go, as we go on, remember that unfaithful wife, Israel, is going to be faithful again to God. And you talk about what a glory she is to the Father and what honor he's going to bestow upon her. And I think we're so close right now. Oh, I begin to just thrill as I hear those of Israel, even hearing their leaders, and I know some of them, well, I should say, they don't know what they're speaking of, in a sense, to the depth of it. But I do, I have to wonder, I said, Lord, will they be of that 144? Will this be the catalyst, praise God, of that restoration and the thrill of it all? And how beautiful that God has put that love in our hearts. And I know it's just God that does it. But the love, hallelujah, for Israel. That we love God's people. And I thank the Lord that he's so graced my life to be around so many of God's earthly people throughout my life. And it's been such a joy. And he's opened up many times opportunity for witness. And it's been very sweet. But through Israel came the blessing, specifically through the faith of the fathers, specifically through the just men made perfect, those 12 stars, remember that we just read, the 12 stars above the head of the woman in the wilderness, those were the 24 elders that we first saw back there in Revelation 4 that are seated on thrones around the midst of the throne. They are the full overcomers in the Old Testament. Now, brothers and sisters, going back here to verse 12, as it says, and had a great wall high and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. I believe in my heart that we're seeing a revelation that the 12 angels that are around those 12 gates, you're also seeing another picture and a depiction of those 24 elders. Leave very much in my heart that you can see that through that witness, praise God, we have that type, that that was where that glory came through, that divine encouragement of the 12 gates around the city, around the midst of the throne. Just as the seven angels, I want to express this again, just as the seven angels we saw as the company of the bride, here we have the 12 angels, praise God, that we also saw earlier on, as the 24 elders round about the midst of the throne. And I thank the Lord. These people are going to be there. They're going to have their place, praise God. They're not forgotten about. And I'll tell you what, every one of God's people is going to be magnified, hallelujah, because of the grace of God that was with them. Now, again, this company of the 12 angels, I really do believe, reveals the full overcomers of the Old Testament, those 24 elders that we saw round about throne there in Revelation chapter 4. And I think so perfectly, brothers and sisters, the Old Testament Israel was where the gospel was received and came to men. And I believe that this, again, in type, is how that glory will be received back in the city, is through those gates. Praise the Lord. I am thankful to know that the seven angels that we saw earlier in Revelation, they weren't just seven individual angels, they were a company. Amen? The bride. And I believe here we have 12 angels. I don't think they're just 12 individual angels standing there doing nothing. I think in all type and shadow, they're a company. And that company, praise God, is a company of entrance. Because I know, as the word of the Lord tells us, that again in the next encouragement, those 12 disciples, they're again typed in the 12 foundations. So we got a different depiction of them. I used to see that in a little different way, but I thank the Lord. I'm not saying that this would be exact, but I think it's a very good encouragement. Praise be to God. So I thank the Lord for a Bible study. All right, now let's continue on in verse 14, and then we're going to go back to verse 13 here in a minute, because I want to stay with, again, this thought of the wall, the thought of the angels at the gate, and then I want to right now just encourage to talk about the foundation. It says in verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So again, we had the 12 angels, but now we have the actual names of the 12 apostles. Now, the 12 apostles are also known as the 12 disciples. They would be called apostles at times, but these are the 12 disciples of Jesus that we're speaking of here. And what a mighty place, if you think about the disciples with the Lord throughout all eternity. You know, we know that during the millennial time, it says that they're going to rule on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. Praise God. So we know that there's an earthly dwelling of these disciples. We know that the disciples, as the word of the Lord tells us, they're not part of the church. They, in a sense, have a special place in their encouragement. I shouldn't say they're not part of the church because they're the ministering of the church, but yet their place into the millennial time is not depicted in the church, but their place is basically ruling and reigning over the 12 tribes upon the earth, upon those 12 thrones. So this is a wonderful thing. But yet their testimony was so vital and so important that we also see their names written in the foundation of New Jerusalem. Let me tell you something, them disciples weren't forgotten. Those disciples, praise God, there is glory and grace. I call you my friends. Isn't that awesome? I thank the Lord for that. I rejoice for my brethren. I get excited that the Holy Ghost is taking my heart into fellowship that I've never had before in the word of the Lord, in the now and the presence of God, that, you know, this time, he incorporates all time, and he'll take us there as we begin to see these things and to walk, praise God, in faith. See, I don't have to walk down here. I don't want to be walking down here. I'm seated in the heavens. I'd rather take strolls in heaven than taking strolls down here. And I'm thanking God. I believe that I'm beginning to maybe encourage not only myself, but somebody else maybe to take a walk too. And you're never going to walk with me. All we walk with is God. See, we walk with him, you know, and thank God when we walk with him, then we can walk together and say, man, can you imagine this stuff we're seeing? And this is what is so wonderful about getting the mind of Christ and letting that just overwhelm us in such joy. And it's amazing how you'll begin to notice that the affairs and the entanglement of the things of this life will be gone. Hallelujah. It'll be gone. And you will finally be free in the freedom that he's really given you. And the liberty, praise God, that we have in Christ. Hallelujah. That is, there's nothing like it, is there? When you just walk in the liberty of Christ. When you walk in the newness of the new man, when you're not entangled in the affairs of this life, in the cares of this life. Amen. That's why I say pray for me, and I'll pray for you, praise God. So, it's wonderful. So we know that these disciples, they rule on the 12 thrones over the 12 tribes through the millennium over the nations. But now here we are at the end of the millennium. And their reward there's a reward for them going forward because of their importance to the church over the church age. I see such glory that God is bestowing again because of the grace of God that was with these precious disciples. The foundation, if you will, that's where they're seen here. Their names are written. The foundation and the principles of God and the gospel were first testified in the New Testament through the 12 disciples. That's how the word of the Lord came forth. That came forth through those sweet disciples. They were, you know, scared beyond. But then the power of the Holy Ghost. Sweet Peter, shortly thereafter, standing up and preaching such wonderful, powerful word. And, you know, I kind of think of what others thought of this man and things of that nature. But yet, here he was and giving out the word of God and all of these things. So that gospel truly began coming through those 12 disciples. And they were vital witnessing in the New Testament to believers as they went into the church age. So through their testimony, in a sense, we have the foundation of the church. Now, I understand that it is Paul's gospel, don't get me wrong, but we began with those sweet 12 that began to give and start planning the word of the Lord. And let me tell you something, God doesn't forget that. And what glory, hallelujah, is going to be in every part of the body. But notice the pattern of the construction here. Everything about the building, the outer structure that we're talking about, is of Israel. Once again, whether it was the 24 elders, whether it's the 144,000, whether it's the disciples, it's all about Israel. It's just so beautiful. We're going to get to the inner parts, and we kind of were there a minute ago because that was the bride. But we're going to get to that glorious city. We're going to get into that streets of gold. We're going to talk about the servants that are within the city. It's a city. And it's a bustling city. And there's lots of stuff going on in there. It's gorgeous and beautiful as we go through. And I just been praying, Lord, just continue to give us such a vision of this time and what will be. But the beauty is just seeing the harmony of the family of God in this. And again, the faithfulness of our Savior and the faithfulness of God that brings this all together, and what a structure this is. But the inner parts, again, of the city, which we'll get to, the bride, the servants, the river, the tree, the throne of God, and of the Lamb, it's all theirs. But we're going to close this study tonight on the foundation. So I would like you to jump down, because we're thinking about the foundation. Go down to verse 19. It says, "And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones." Now, it's going to talk about each one of those foundations, how they are a certain stone. One's a jasper, the second a sapphire, and on and on and on. But before that, it says that each one of the foundations were garnished with all manners of precious stone. That means that they were, these foundations themselves, the foundations themselves, were decorated or adorned with all manner of precious stones. It was very sweet tonight, my sweet brother Joe, because it's been on my heart all week, Joe, and the Lord knew that I needed a special delivery. What does Joe start walking up with? He's got these beautiful pictures and all these study, and I don't even think he wanted me to have it, but it was in his hand, and I just grabbed it from him. I did ask him if I could have it after I took it, but it was all the stones. It was all the stones. And that's what's just been on my heart, is about all these precious stones. Now look, there's 12 of these foundations, but all manner of precious stones. There's 24 stones that are so emphasized within the Word of God, 24 of them. So there's more than the 12, but each one of these are garnished with all manner of precious stone. So now again, we start to allow the Lord to encourage our hearts. You know, what are these stones? More importantly, who are these stones? Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. All of God's people sparkle. And they do. And I thank the Lord for it. Now, let's go back again, thinking about that wonderful woman that we saw. You remember, what was below, what was at her feet? The moon glory, wasn't it? So, again, the foundations, where are they? They're kind of noticed at the bottom, right? So, you think about that reflected glory, the moon glory. Well, again, as we start to see these different visions of the city, the different visions of the family of God, the foundations are the bottom of the city. Remembering the feet of the woman in the wilderness, the moon glory was at her feet. We saw that that would be those tribulation saints, the innumerable multitude, the ones that would have a lesser rank, but sure a glory. Sure a glory. And brothers and sisters, like we said, there's ranks all throughout the Word of God. And there's ranks in Israel. Did you know that? There's ranks, praise God, in the Old Testament. There were ones that we know in the Old Testament which were the full overcomers. Those are the 24 elders. Those were the 12 stars above her head. So we know that there's that rank. We also know that in Israel there was the apostles. They have their own place. They have their own rank. We know that the 144,000, they have their rank. But let's not forget the remnant. There's their rank. And let's not forget the graves of them. In Matthew 27, it said that many of the graves were open, didn't it? Of those full overcomers. But some of the graves of ones that believed were not opened. But they're sparkling. And they're his jewels. Something to kind of meditate on. Amen. Again, I love a Bible study. And I don't know for sure, but I sure think it kind of lines up very perfectly in the Word of God. So once again, the outer city, the walls, the gates, the foundation, the bride's raiment of the righteousness of saints, these all received the gospel. So wonderful. But that bride, remember this, the innermost part of the midst of the throne, she received Paul's gospel. The apostles had something to say, didn't they? Mighty. And I receive it all, what they said. But there was more. Hallelujah. There was a gospel that would complete Jesus. complete the Word of God. I thank the Lord for that. That's that inner part. Hallelujah. Now let's go ahead back to verse 13. And this will kind of set us up for next week, God willing, if we're not in heaven. But I'm sure it'll go on and on up there too. Amen. But in verse 13, let's go back and read that. On the east three gates, and on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And we know on these gates were written the names of the 12 tribes. This depicts completely the tabernacle in the wilderness. That's exactly how they pitched the tents. So they had the tabernacle out there. And on every side, they had three of the tribes, and their tents were pitched on each side. And it was sweet. And again, we'll just pray about this, how much in depth, but the Lord stirred my heart, maybe coming up, if the Lord tarry, about some studies, or maybe a study on the tabernacle as well, that it just weaves in perfectly with this, and it really does. But you'll see, even in the positioning of each of the three tribes on each side, the representation of, again, the lion, in Mark, the ox, in Luke, the man, and again in the eagle. It magnifies the Lord, but it's also her raiment. Amen. Always has been. Even the tabernacle. And why not? Because wasn't she found in the Holy of Holies, the cherubim over the mercy seat? It's still the same. It's all there. It's been witnessing to us, those precious prophets. They wrote those things for you and you and you and you. For you to see and to say, oh Lord, what a romantic. How beautiful that this is established. Yes, it's new, but it was written of in ages past for us. Praise God. So, as we close, the gates positioned just as the tribes and the tents were established around the tabernacle. Once again, you had to go through those tents. You had to go through those tribes, in a sense, to get to the tabernacle, even into the Holy of Holies. So perfectly, even the way each three tribes were positioned around the city, whether it was, again, to the north, south, east, west, you were never going to approach it, even into the inner parts, without going through what God had established through Israel. And it's never going to change. It's never going to change. And we thank God. And how he loves and always will love her. And I thank the Lord we've had this study of how beautiful Israel is to the Father. And I pray that gives you a little bit more excitement and glory. And as we see these things accelerating as they're coming to pass. The peace talk is getting at heights unknown. And even though you think there's war and rumor of war everywhere, which there is, somehow, some way, well, this guy brought peace. Could we be there? As crazy as it is, I think it's could be tomorrow. What do you think? I'm expecting it. How about you? That's why we do. We pray for Israel, don't we? Even so, Lord. That's when you pray for Israel and pray that way. You're praying, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.